When you go out for a hike or even just a walk as a little kid, you look for that one perfect stick that you're going to pick up and use to walk with. And it seems like it's ingrained in every little boy to do that kind of thing. You know, when you go out and you go somewhere and you're walking around in nature and you think, I need a stick. I just need a stick. And then when you have your stick to use to walk around with, you use it to clear things out of the way. You know, it turns into a machete for some reason. You see how deep water is. You pretend like you really need it to walk. In front of our house right now, there are two sticks that we picked up this summer at Tomlinson Run. We've held on to those sticks because they're important to my boys. They used their sticks when we were at Tomlinson Run to walk around, and we walked all around the creek, and they had to pick out their sticks, and they were slapping the water with it. They played with their sticks like they were swords, and we looked for fish together, and they loved these sticks because to them, these sticks helped them feel like they were explorers. And for me, it's fun to watch my kids discover new things and explore this world around them. Along the same lines, a few years back, I was able to go with a friend on a church retreat for his youth group to the beach. And they had with them a lady who came to cook, and one of her sons had never been to the beach before, ever in his entire life, never seen the ocean. And so we surprised him with what the ocean looked like. We put a blindfold on him, and we put stuff over his ears so he couldn't hear anything. And we walked him out into the sand, and he's standing there, and we take the blindfold off, and we took the earmuffs off, and his jaw just dropped, and he stood in awe and wonder as he took this huge expanse of water in that he'd never seen before. And I also had the opportunity when we lived in Florida to see kids that had never seen snow before. Now, up here, that's crazy. You're like, nobody's ever seen snow before. What in the world? But these kids never seen snow before. And so it was one Sunday, I remember it, and we were just finishing up Sunday school time. And somebody comes running in. It's snowing outside. It's snowing outside. And you would have thought there was like a tornado. Like everybody scrambled in every different direction. They're running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Ah! And you know, and it's just little tiny pieces of snow come down. It's not even sticking to the ground. It's Florida. There's a sense of awe we get when we discover something new or when we explore the unknown. That's why we all are at least mildly interested when we hear things, some kind of news about evidence of life or water found on Mars. We think, oh man, that's cool. Or we go watch a space exploration movie. Or we watch TV and we see these videos of people exploring the deep parts of the ocean that, you know, you can't normally see. We see these hideous, ugly creatures and we think, what in the world do those things exist for? Discovery, exploration, they're freeing, they're exciting to us. And so, as we continue to look at our vision statement, we're going to focus on the second of three parts today. In case you missed it, our vision statement is helping the community discover and explore the truth of God's love. Now, last week we looked at what it means to help the community. We talked a bit about how that word community means two different things in our vision statement. First, a community is the people that live around us, and I narrowed that down to about 5 miles within the church, 5 mile radius around the church. And then second, we talked about community is a group of people with common interests. And we said that that means that those of us who are immersed believers and followers of Jesus here in this church are a community as well. And so inside of our vision statement is a responsibility for us to provide for both of these people physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And so today we're going to continue looking at our vision statement, and we need to note that the community is the who of our vision statement. The community is who we are trying to impact with this vision statement. And then from that we have our discovery and exploration. That is the how of our vision statement. That's how we're going to talk to the community. And what we're going to talk to them about is the truth of God's love. And so that's the message that we want to share to our intended audience through discovery and exploration. Through discovery and exploration, we want to share the truth of God's love. And believe it or not, discovery is really just learning about something. When you discover something, you're finding something new to you. You might know of it, but you've never really experienced it before. This is why if you search for it, there are a lot of commercials that include the tagline that says something along the lines of, discover the magic of blank. And I typed that in and I got Disney. Discover the magic of Disney. Discover the magic of Africa. Now, while some of us have probably gone to Disney World before, if you haven't, I invite you to go discover Disney World. It's enjoyable, even for adults. You can ask my friend Drew, if you ever meet him. He's probably 25, 26 years old, and like a little kid whenever he goes to Disney. And literally a little kid when he walks into Disney. But while some of us have gone to Disney World before, a commercial telling you to discover the magic of Disney or discover the magic of Africa, it's likely going to show you one or more things that you didn't really know or you haven't seen before. It's going to get you interested. Oh man, I want to go see that. You know, that's people, Nate for a while was watching on YouTube, besides the random crazy stuff that Nate likes to watch on YouTube, he would watch behind the scenes about Disney World. And Daddy, I want to go to Disney World and see this. And so he would plan. He said he discovered something, and so he wanted to explore it a little bit more. The writer of Psalm 119, they knew this importance of discovery. Their desire was to let God help them be able to discover the beauty hidden inside of God's law. And so they want to discover, they want that discovery to consume them and make them long for the thing that they've discovered. Psalm 119, 18 through 20 says this, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your law at all times. Here's the thing. Everybody is looking for something more. Everybody. People get bored and tired of doing the same thing every day. That's why they plan vacations to go to places that they don't normally go to. Or that's why they try new foods. And that's why they're always looking for something new. People like new things. And the writer of Psalm 119, he goes a step beyond that though. The writer says, let me find something new and exciting and wonderful inside of something that I've known my whole life. And you see, they had grown up learning this law. The boys and the girls of Jewish society, they learned the law from the time that they were little. And we talked about the twofold definition of community last week. And there's almost a twofold definition of discovery for us here today. First, discovery, of course, is finding something new that you've never experienced before. But discovery can also happen in something that you've known your whole life. It's when you see something in a Bible verse that you've known before. You've never known that thing was contained inside that Bible verse, even though you've heard that verse your entire life. You're discovering something new. You see, Christians, we have a mission and a message. This mission and this message, they're both in verses that have been looked at and plastered all over the place. You've heard them over and over again. I've said them up here several times. And they're just common verses to us. They're just things we hear all the time. You could probably close your eyes and say these verses out loud from memory. But if we look at these verses and we ask God to open our eyes so we can see the wonderful things hidden inside of them, you're going to discover something new. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. This is our mission. All right, we talked about this last summer, about the mission that God sends us on. And this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You probably heard that a gazillion times. And in one ear, out the other. But that's our mission. And if we look at that through the eyes of somebody seeking to discover, like the writer of Psalm 119, something new will come to us. Our mission as a community of believers, followers of Jesus, it's simply go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. Nothing new. Heard it over and over and over and over. And a large part of that mission, it's for us to go out and share this message that Jesus has given us. And so what's the message? What do you teach people? It's another chunk of verses that you've heard over and over and over and over and over, over and over and over and over. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So our mission and our message, there are things we've heard over and over again. It's kind of like eating chicken every day. It's good for a little while. You know, think about it like this. Forrest Gump, the movie Forrest Gump. You've got Bubba Gump and Forrest, right? You guys know where I'm going with this? They're talking about shrimp. Fried shrimp. Sautéed shrimp, blackened shrimp. At some point, you're just eating shrimp over and over and over. And what do you get tired of? Shrimp. All right? It's the same thing. It gets bland because you hear it over and over again. You have to try to discover new ways. And Bubba Gump realized that. He realized, hey, there's different ways you can cook shrimp to make it more exciting. So we need to ask ourselves, individually as a church, have we truly discovered our purpose hidden in these verses? Are we working to complete our mission? Are we sharing this message that Jesus has given us? Like the writer of Psalm 119, when we do these things, our eyes, they get opened. We'll be like a little kid discovering things for the first time. Now here's the beauty of discovery. Discovery allows us to have universal truths become personal. They become personal for us. The things that we don't know, they become known. The things that have been so plain and common to us, they're refreshed, they're made new. Not only does discovery allow for the unknown to become known, but one discovery, it usually leads to another. You know, this is scientific process. That's how it happens. We figure out something, and then based on that, we figure out something else, and something else, something else. You know, this is trial and error. Talked about Edison, I think it was Edison, inventing the light bulb. You know, how many times did he fail? So many times, thousands of times. And he figured out what didn't work. You know, when a person discovers something new and they joyfully try to learn more about it, they soon discover more things that they didn't know. And these discoveries, they lead to radical changes in a person's life, because as you discover, specifically as you discover inside the church, your heart, your mind, it wants more. You crave it. You crave it. I'm the type of person, when something interests me, something gets my interest, I want to learn everything I can about it. Even the things that aren't true, so that I know if somebody says something that's not true about it, I can say, hey, that's not true. This is the truth about it. Discovery, it leads to exploration. And when you discover something, you don't typically stop there. No, your curiosity, it gets piqued so much that you explore and you learn more about what that discovery means. I did a little research on exploration, and I discovered that every animal that can move explores. Every animal that can move explores. The only animals that don't move or that don't explore are called non-sessile. They're the ones that are permanently attached to an object or a rock, something that doesn't move. These animals, example would be like mussels. When mussels get attached to a cliff, you know, they don't go out and explore the seabed. They just kind of sit there on the cliff. All right. Or you think barnacles, they get attached to a ship. You know, it's not like, I'm going to leave my ship for a little while and go explore over here. No, they stay stuck onto that ship. All right. It's a funny fact, though, because even though we're an animal, humans, we're an animal that explores, we're also an animal that clings so tightly to stability, routine, tradition, that kind of thing. Even though we're built, made to explore, we cling so tightly to the things that make everything normal for us. And you think about it, discovery is the anti-routine. You know, you're not really usually typically going to discover something if you just go about your daily routine. You know, you wake up, you drive the same road to work, you park in the same parking spot, you walk in the same way, same number of steps. You know, that's kind of boring. But if there's something that throws that routine off, your day changes. It's a little different. And even though discovery is that anti-routine, you've got exploration. It's its vehicle. You know, maybe you're walking into your job and you see a lottery ticket on the ground. And you go, what in the world? You reach over and pick it up and go, hey, this is a winning lottery ticket. Holy cow! Your life changes and you don't have to work anymore. Okay? How often does that happen, right? Doesn't. But when we discover something, you know, maybe you find a $20 bill. I found a $20 bill on the ground before. And I look around and go, who's this belong to? Well, now it belongs to me. So then I'm able to do something different outside of my routine with $20 that I didn't have before. When we discover something, we typically explore it, and that leads us to more discovery. Maybe I think, man, I got $20 in my pocket. I'm going to go try some Thai food today. I never had Thai food before, you know, and then you get the experience of, hey, here's what Thai food does to my body later on, okay? You get to explore. Or think about it like this. You got some classic horror movies. Classic horror movies. Teenage kids, they go out in the middle of nowhere to maybe a cabin, a house, or a building. Some location that they've never been to before. We're going to go discover and explore this place. And then they go out there and things usually take a turn for the worse. Some people don't make it. But that's the typical beginning of most horror movies. If you watch it, that's the formula they have. Or think about, here's a better example, Lewis and Clark. They were tasked with charting and mapping unknown parts of our country. They got sent out to discover and explore. And so they took their guide, Sacagawea, and they went out and they discovered a lot of natural beauties of America. And their discovery, it led to more exploration, which led to more discoveries until they reached the Pacific Ocean. They were the first people to see what we now know as Yellowstone Park. Okay? Can you imagine that? The first person to ever say, whoa, this thing is cool. Hey, here's Old Faithful. You know, the geyser that erupts on a schedule. And so just like Lewis and Clark's exploration, it didn't mean that they discovered everything about America. Our exploration of God, it doesn't mean that we're going to know everything about God just because we explore Him more. But just because that happens, because God, parts of God will still be a mystery to us, that doesn't mean that we should stop from constantly working to discover and explore who God is. And when we constantly work to discover and explore who He is and how He works, that leads to a maturity in our faith. We do understand Him a little bit more. We do understand how life works a little bit more. So our faith matures a little bit more. Colossians 1:27 through 28 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And God has allowed us to discover who Jesus is. And because we know who Jesus is from that discovery, we're going to want to explore and learn more about Him so that we can tell others, teach them to discover and explore Him, so they too can work towards being mature in Christ. This is called the discipleship process. Discipleship process. When we talk about making disciples, it's taking people who already believe who Jesus is, who He said He was, people who are already immersed, people who follow Jesus, and we work together to discover more and more, explore more and more about who Jesus is, and mature together. Again, a chapter later in Colossians 2:2 through 3, this gets echoed. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Exploration and discovery, they go hand in hand. The goal of every Christian should be to constantly work towards a maturity of faith. That means that you have a humble spirit that gives generously and compassionately because you know of the generosity and the compassion given to you because of Jesus' death on the cross. Maturity, it's not something that just comes with age. It's not determined by how long you've been a believer. I know people have been a Christian their entire life, but they don't show the fruit of being a mature Christian. Instead, maturity comes from an understanding that one should always be learning, striving to discover and explore more and more and more about who our faith is placed in. That's what makes us mature in our faith. And so at First Christian Church, we want the vision, the passion, the heart of our church to be one in which our community, those of us here who have a common interest in following Jesus, being obedient to Him, where we go out into our community, the people who live around us in Chester, New Cumberland, New Manchester, East Liverpool, Wellsville, Weirton, so on, to help these people discover the Jesus that we serve and explore who Jesus is and what He's done for us. That means that the things that we do as a church, everything should be to help our community discover and explore Jesus. Everything we do. The programs we have, Sunday school, worship service, youth groups, small groups, so on. The events we put on, prayer gatherings, church picnics, block parties, VBS, so on. All of those need to have a focus on helping our community discover and explore the truth of God's love. And also that means that anything that we do that doesn't fit into that vision, we need to be willing to change it. We need to be willing not to do it. We need to be willing to stop doing it because it doesn't fit inside this vision that we have to help our community discover and explore Jesus. We can't continue to do things just because we've always done them. Our actions, the things we do, they have to be a representation of our vision. You think back to Nehemiah. What he did was a representation of the vision he had of fixing the walls, getting the people back into prominence again with the people around them. People seeing God moving through the Jews. This vision that we have, it's how we partner with God. It should guide us so that we're focused on doing what God wants us to do. Our vision, it needs to be based on Scripture that allows us to fulfill the mission. Share this message that He's given us. Matthew 28:19-20. John 3:16-17. Those need to be at the heart of our vision. Dave Ramsey wrote a book a long time ago entitled The Total Money Makeover. If you don't know who Dave Ramsey is, he's basically, people consider him like a financial guru. He helps people get out of debt, that kind of thing. And in it, he describes the best way for people to get out of debt. And it, included in this book is a whole bunch of testimonies of people that have used his process. But his advice for people is for them, you're getting free Dave Ramsey today, just so you know. So you can thank me later. His advice is for people to pay off their smallest debt first. Pay off the smallest debt you have. Why? Because what that does, I went to college, I promise. What that does is it gives you a good feeling. You know, oh man, hey, I paid this debt off. I don't have to worry about it anymore. And while you're doing that, you pay the minimum on everything else. And so once you do that, you can build on that small success and you pay your next smallest debt. And you keep doing that until basically if you own a house, you pay off your mortgage because that's usually typically the largest, unless you buy like a really nice truck, which can usually cost more than a house. But you build on that success. Included in this plan is something that Dave Ramsey calls gazelle-like intensity. All right, and what this is you get rid of the things you don't need. If you buy this book and you read the testimonies, you hear people say, we don't need a 40-inch TV. We don't need the internet. We don't need this. We don't need that. We only need one vehicle. Hey, I can ride my bike to work. I'm going to pack my lunch today. People sacrificing so that they can have this debt that they have getting rid of. It's gazelle-like intensity. And this is what Dave Ramsey says about this. He says, you don't see fat gazelles. Think about it. You don't see fat gazelles. Because what happens to a fat gazelle? Well, it can't outrun a lion, can it? In order to survive, a gazelle has to be in the best shape it can possibly be in to run away from this lion. All right? Those that aren't are usually the ones that are devoured by the lion. You know, they go after the little ones that can't run as fast. They go after the old ones with maybe they've been bit by a lion before and they've got an injury and they can't run as fast as other ones. So they pick out who they want to attack and then they go after them. And so that's why you don't see fat gazelles or lame gazelles for very long. All right? The lion attacks and devours them. For a church to succeed, to operate at its absolute best, it needs to get rid of the things that don't fit inside the vision and mission. Before we came up here, one of my friends started a new ministry at my home church, and he kind of echoed this with them. He had a whole sermon series on it, though. But basically, what he said is he showed two pictures, or actually, he showed a video first of a Mustang. And this Mustang, everything was taken out of it that was not necessary. No air conditioning, you know. Seat belts, yes. No airbags. None of the leather seats, all that stuff. And they put everything in there to make that car go fast. Because the goal of that car was to go fast. And then he showed a picture of, I think it was like a minivan, okay? Now, minivans, they're not necessarily built for speed, are they? Okay, Kevin and I were talking about that yesterday. I said, man, I'm going to have to get a minivan soon. I'm not looking forward to it because I'm a man. But you can't fit three kids and a wife in a Mustang. It's just, you know, especially when you got car seats. The idea, though, is that in order to operate at your maximum potential, the maximum potential for this Mustang, they did everything they could, got rid of all the extras so that this Mustang could operate at its maximum potential. You have to have that gazelle-like intensity. And our church, it needs to operate with that gazelle-like intensity inside of our vision so that we can work to be the best in serving God. We can work to the best of our abilities here, who we are, to serve God. And so we can help our community discover and explore the truth of God's love that He sent His Son here to die for us. Because He loves us. Because He values us. Because He realizes that we're His creation and we need to be redeemed. Our relationship needs to be made right. And so He sent Jesus here to die for us. And He gives us an opportunity to make that relationship right, to be obedient through immersion. All you have to do is believe that Jesus came to die for your sins, that he's the only way you can get to heaven. You have to be willing to tell people about that. You have to be willing to stand up in front of people and say, yes, I believe, I'm a Christian. And you have to be willing to be obedient and be cleansed of your sins, forgiven of your sins through baptism, and then strive to always discover and explore the person that came here to save us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for Jesus, for His example for us. Thank You for giving us the free gift of salvation. It's my prayer, God, that we realize that while we think that we have to do things in order for You to love us, You love us for who we are. You desire us for who we are. And You know the good that we can do for Your kingdom. You know the good that we can do as a church, as an individual. And it's my prayer, God, that today if there's somebody here that needs to be a part of a church, somebody who wants to partner with a church that wants to do things for their community, not because we have expectations, but because you have told us we're to take care of our community that we live in. I pray, God, that they would feel free to come here and say, I want to partner with that. I want to be a part of that. I want to know more, discover and explore this Jesus. I want to grow. I want to have a mature faith. I pray, God, that if there's that need, that desire, that person would feel free to come forward today. Talk to me. We might not make a decision today, but we can start a conversation. And I pray, God, that you'll let that conversation lead to another person being involved in your kingdom, your church, another person able to spend eternity with you, with us as we worship you. It's in Jesus' name I pray.